Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We're going to be thinking along the lines of these signs shall. And our scripture is found in Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. That's the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe her. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned, reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, but he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out to preach everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. So, have you ever thought about signs? I don't mean street signs, but the signs of how we spend our time, our life. You know, many people do not realize this, but signs follow everyone. Everyone leaves a sign behind them about themselves, about their faith, about the type of life they have, about the way they think, about their morals, about how they dress. Everyone leaves signs. Signs follow everyone. But Jesus said there were certain signs that would follow a believer. Jesus said these words to his disciples moments before he ascended. Now, this is important. These are the last words that he's saying while he's on earth. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Those are the signs, he said, would follow believers. So then the question for us is, are these signs following us? Now, if they're not following us, then we must ask ourselves, how come? Why are they not following us? Is it because Jesus lied? I think not. But we develop everything that we do. Signs follow us. But he said that these signs will follow believers. But if we never lay hands on the sick, they don't get well in the name of Jesus. They may get well, but they will not be healed by using the name of the Son of God. Now I'm going to come back to this later. Let's look for a minute at the progression of the story in our scripture. Jesus, it says, first appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. Now let's look at this event and others in our scripture as signs. What was special about Mary Magdalene? Yes, she was devoted to Jesus. But why this devotion? I believe it was a sign of her gratitude for her deliverance from seven demons. Now think about this, because people tend, if they're the more they're forgiven, the more grateful they tend to be. This was a woman who had seven demons, and Jesus delivered her from those. So what then would be the reason Jesus allowed her to be the first to see him and to make the announcement to the others that he had risen? Well, now you could easily say, well, no, she just happened to be the first person there. That would presuppose that God really wasn't in charge of the events as they were happening right then. And I find that very difficult to believe. If he's raised Jesus from the dead, if the stone has been rolled back from the tomb, gee, you'd almost think this would be a resurrection message, wouldn't you? But that's not my point here. Not to demean that point at all. But now let's think also, Jesus' mother was the first to announce his coming birth because it was first announced to her, wasn't it? So now we have Mary Magdalene, who is the first to encounter Jesus and announce that he has risen. And we have his mother, Mary, who was the first to announce that she was expecting because the Holy Ghost had planted the seed of God in her womb. You see, God's mindful of women and their part in the kingdom. Many times people forget this because they will focus on a scripture that says, well, women are to be silent in the church, and taking that really out of context. But if you look at how God utilizes women throughout the history, I mean, remember Rahab and her red cord that they knew not to bother her because she had befriended the Israelite spies when they went into the city. And she ends up being one of the grandmothers of Jesus. Women play a very strong role. Why? Because God created both males and females. And he created them to do things. But now, interestingly, where Mary Magdalene's concerned, the disciples doubted her report. Could I even say her testimony? This was a testimony. I have seen the Lord. The Lord has risen. And they're going, no, 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 woman, that can't be right. But it is right. He has, and she's announcing it to them. Jesus then appears to the group. But now let's look at how he does this. Later, Jesus himself confirms her testimony by appearing to the disciples. You see, this sign followed her and confirmed the truth of what Mary Magdalene had said. Can you see a pattern here? There's a pattern here of what he said that he would do just before he ascended. These signs will follow. Here we have a sign following, don't we? Here's the risen Lord appearing after she had said that he was out of the grave, he was alive and well. And now he confirms what she's saying. But you see, there was a little problem at the time. It's a thing called groupthink. The group used its judgment of what it understood to be possible and commonly possible at that, to determine the truth of Mary's testimony. They said, well, now, this just doesn't happen. This doesn't, oh, well, we do remember Lazarus, and he called Lazarus out of the grave, but he was dead, so he, how could he call himself out? Can you hear all of the arguments that might have been used as to why? Oh, I know, we know he said he'd come back, but this just doesn't happen. You see, this was an error on the group's part. Sometimes the group will be wrong when one or two will be right. Even today, there are those who call themselves believers who remain in the groupthink of the world system. They really do. They go to, they attend services maybe even on a regular basis. But if a doctor says something, then that carries more weight than the scripture because that's what they've usually seen happen around them, and that's the way the world looks at it. They do not even realize that their minds have not been renewed, that they do not see things through the eyes of scripture, but through their natural eyes. They don't see the things, as I said in the last time we were together, through their eyes of understanding being opened. But they look through the natural system that they see. If they can't touch it, feel it, they just don't believe it. They've adopted, actually, a philosophy called Christian without the person of Christ. Christianity is not a philosophy, it's a relationship with God Himself. Now the disciples continued to doubt when two more of their number, you see that groupthink was still going on, and two more of their number testified to seeing and being with Jesus. Note here in the scripture, two, now listen to me here, two is the number of adequate witness, and three is the number of perfect witness. Therefore, with Mary's and the two other testimonies that you see that they have, that made a perfect witness. But still, they did not believe. Forgetting the principles that God had set down when He said that two would be adequate and three is perfect witness, they still didn't believe. You see, they still had the groupthink of the world going on. They were still trying to balance between all the things that Jesus had said and what they thought was, well, He's gone now and we're back to everything just being the way it was. Oh, we can go out and say good things and we can talk about the Word of God, but they were missing the point that Jesus was alive and well, that He had done exactly what He said He would do. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. And that's exactly what happened. But you see, it was only with the miraculous sign of Jesus appearing. Again, these signs shall follow. It was only with those miraculous signs of Jesus appearing would they believe. That's when they went from philosophy to faith and power. You understand what I'm saying here? They went from the philosophy of thinking just good things, thinking just good thoughts, just thinking positive things, to faith and power. When they suddenly, you say, well, how could it be faith? They saw Him, yes, but it solidified their faith. You see, it verified everything that Jesus had said, because the signs shall occur. And so, here He is, He confirmed it with one, but even one's not adequate witness. And then two. Well, two should have been adequate witness. But adding what those two said to the original one made it perfect witness. But because of being done in that way, they just didn't get it. Many people in the world today just don't get it. Now, it was after this the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word by the signs that accompanied it. That accompanied what? That accompanied His word. If you wonder why signs don't accompany you, it's because you're not giving out the word. You're giving out the word in the form of your opinion rather than the form of this is what the word says, and we're going to follow what the word says, and we're going to do what the word says. Oh, that makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. You see? And this is what I said. I would come back to this later. These signs shall. It does not say these signs might, perhaps, on occasion. It says these signs shall follow. The word shall being used there makes it emphatic. Not a matter of speculation, not a matter of wonder, not a matter of opinion, but a matter of God Himself saying these signs shall. And if they shall, then we need to do the things that they shall follow. We who believe are thus commissioned. Signs also follow us as well. We have been commissioned the same as they were. And the signs follow us as well. You say, but the signs haven't been following me. It's because perhaps you've not been doing the commission. That's what the signs follow. It doesn't follow a debate about whether or not God's alive or whether or not Jesus was real. But it follows by saying, this is it because the Word says it, and now we're going to demonstrate it by laying hands on the sick or whatever is mentioned there. Now, he wasn't telling people to run out and drink poison and handle snakes. He was talking about if that should happen. Just as it did happen to Paul when that snake bit him, and he just shook it off into the fire. And they were all so amazed that nothing happened to him. And then what happened? The whole island, which was the most bloodthirsty bunch of people in that whole region, ended up following Christ. A marvelous thing. So what am I saying here about these signs? I'm saying if you will go and do, the signs shall follow. So, go and do. You say, oh, I wish this were so true. It is true, my friend. Now, if you've never accepted Christ, it's no wonder that the signs aren't following you. Believe me, there are some signs. Some kind of signs are following you. Success leaves clues. So does failure. So if you want signs following you, if you want what you've heard here, if you want what is in the Scripture, then you must first of all accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've already done that, but your love has grown cold and you've not really talked about the Lord or testified about Him or spoken about salvation to anyone, well, that can change. Just change your way. Either way, just go to the Lord right now. Just go to the throne room in the name of Jesus and say, I'm sorry. I will repent. In other words, I will turn around and I will get on the path that Jesus has put me on. Because Jesus is my Lord and Savior and I acknowledge Him. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that, you're restored or you're in if you've never been in. Now, go and do. If you need some help along this line, contact me, The Sojourner, at sojournershub.org. I'll be happy to communicate with you, to help you, to put you in touch with people, to work with you, whatever it's going to take to help you go and do so that these signs shall follow you as well. So that brings this time together to a close, and I'll pronounce this blessing. And with that, we'll be through and finished for this session until next time. So this is the Sojourner saying, the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.